I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Miranda Viscoli and Paul Schmidt. They are co-presidents of New Mexicans for Gun Safety. And we're here to talk, at least in part, about a rally that's happening today at noon at the Roundhouse. And apologies to our afternoon listeners who are listening to the rebroadcast of this morning's show. In any case, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte, for having us on.
So the rally is in support of something called House Bill 44, which is a bill that's being introduced at the legislature this year. What's it all about?
Well, last year, a lot of your listeners might know, it's called HB 77. And so the numbers have changed to HB 44. And basically, all this is about is closing the gun show loophole. So right now, in New Mexico. So right now, you can go to a gun show, and they have private sellers and then sellers with a firearms license. Those with a firearms license, federal firearms license, they have to conduct a background check. If you're a private seller, you don't have to conduct a background check, which means that if you're a convicted felon, a domestic violence offender, a teenager, you can walk into those gun shows and very easily buy a gun, no questions asked.
You can walk out of jail.
Go to a gun show.
And buy a gun.
Yeah. Or walk out of anything.
Right. Well, if you look at the Columbine shooters in Colorado, those two teenagers used the gun show loophole to buy their guns, went to a private seller and bought their guns.
And many, many convicted criminals have. I mean, you wrote an essay in which you list so many different people who've bought their guns at gun shows and immediately gone out and committed acts of murder and terrorism.
Right. Yes. Well, I think the one... One example that we were using is Travis Morales, who was with the Mexican drug cartel, with the Zetas, who are one of the worst of the Mexican drug cartel. And they were going to a gun show in El Paso. And this guy, Manny, I forget his last name, Manny Rodriguez, I think, he was selling guns after he had just gotten out of federal prison for 23 months for selling guns that were legal to sell. So the first thing he did was he went to the private show in El Paso and started trafficking guns to the Mexican drug cartel.
So what are these gun shows like?
Now, you've been to one, Miranda, right?
I went to one wondering, well, what's really going on? There's very little information as to what goes on. And I went to the one in Albuquerque that's held at the fairgrounds. And I could have walked out of there with any gun I wanted to. You have people literally walking up and down the aisle with rifles strapped to their backs with little stickies on the rifle that says $400 cash.
And so it makes it not only incredibly easy to get guns, but incredibly hard to do forensics, to trace where these things came from and who got them.
It's almost impossible to do that.
And so there's also an issue, which is that you've got licensed gun dealers, and whatever we may think about the ability to get guns in the United States, they are licensed, they pay taxes, they presumably follow the law, who now are in competition with people who don't have to do anything, any of those things.
So what this would do is level the playing field so that those licensed gun dealers and the gun store owners would be able to compete with selling guns at a gun show with someone that would normally not have to go through the inconvenience of a background check. Now, when I say the inconvenience of a background check, we're talking about 5 minutes.
Why is it only 5 minutes? I mean, are the databases that good?
It's already set up. So at the gun shows, the system's already set up. And another thing that the opposing side talks about is that this is the beginning of a registry for guns, which it really isn't, because the federal law says within 24 hours they have to destroy that information if the person passes the background check.
Which is also crazy, because somebody who passes a background check might use that gun to commit a crime.
Right.
Yes, but I don't think we're going to go there right now with what we're trying to do. What we're doing is trying to make it more difficult for a criminal or someone that should not have a gun, or teenager, to go in and just buy a gun. And that is a step that would lead to a better direction towards our attitudes towards guns. That's what we believe. And along with that, we want to try to express a direction towards gun safety.
Right. Now, just staying with the gun show question for a moment, if you've got unlicensed gun dealers walking up and down the aisles with a thing that says 400 cash, you're going to be pretty sure they're not paying taxes either.
Exactly. So that's another issue that this would level the playing field. Because if the outdoorsman, the gun shop here, goes to one of these gun shows, he's paying taxes on all the guns. So it's really not fair if somebody sets up a table, puts 20 guns out, and they sell their guns and don't even have to charge taxes, and people will go to those tables because, as Paul was saying, you don't have the 5-minute wait time. And there's a $25 processing fee, I think, but that seems a fair fee.
Right. Now, where do the people who are unlicensed gun dealers who are putting guns for cash on some random table at a gun show getting their guns?
Well, they can get them from all sorts of places illegally. Usually, a lot of times, if you read the police blotter, you'll find robbery in Santa Fe or robbery anywhere where guns have been taken from a home. Because the guns were not locked up, they were someplace where they can be easily reached, and then those guns are on the market.
And you can also get them online, so you can Google the gun you want in the city you live in, and you can buy almost any gun you want. And so you can also get them online. You could have had your own gun collection. I mean, to be fair, a lot of the private sellers are selling antique guns, and they're law-abiding citizens, you know, and they want to sell their guns. But it only seems fair that they should also have to be conducting the background checks.
We're talking to Miranda Viscoli and Paul Schmidt of New Mexicans for Gun Safety. Now, there's a rally today at noon, and it's in support of HB 44. What is exactly HB 44?
Okay, HB 44 is essentially saying that we want to expand background checks on gun purchases. Right now, the background checks on gun purchases are done at gun stores and with licensed gun dealers. At a gun show, you do not have to have a background check if you are not a licensed gun dealer or from a gun store.
So it's background checks only?
Background
checks for private sellers.
So there's no... I thought you were going to say that it was about making it illegal to be an unlicensed gun seller.
No, this is simply, it's very small. It's very simply to say that unlicensed dealers have to conduct a background check at a gun show.
Which they have access to and takes 5 minutes and costs $25. Right. Now, what kind of support is there? Is this a partisan issue?
Well, it has crossed party lines. The bill, when it was HB 77 last year, was a bipartisan bill. There is resistance, of course, on the Republican side of the aisle, with it more than on the Democratic side of the aisle. So I have to say that it is bipartisan, though.
And part of the problem, Mary Charlotte, is that the representatives and the senators keep saying, "Well, my constituents, I can't vote for this because of my constituents." And the argument comes from the gun lobby saying this is about the Second Amendment, this is about registration, this is about violent films in Hollywood, this is about kids respecting guns, and all that's doing is deflecting the argument and deflecting what this is really about. And so what we're trying to do is get out there that this is all this bill is to close the gun show loophole at gun shows. Simple as that.
Now, Mary Charlotte, I wanted to add to that we will be presenting the governor with over 4,000 signatures requesting that this bill get heard.
From all over New Mexico.
Yes.
Senator Michael Sanchez is issuing a statement in support of it. Brian Egoff's in support of it. Miguel Garcia's in support of it. Peter Wirth is in support of it. So there's a lot of big support right now for HB 44 to get it called.
Now, the governor was in support of it last year, wasn't she?
Yes, but it's up to her to send a message to so it can get a vote, because it doesn't have to do with finances.
So when you said they're deflecting the attention from the real story, what's the real story?
The real story is that this is simply closing the gun show loophole at gun
there's
shows.
It's a very simple bill. The real story is a very simple bill.
Okay.
But there is a fear out there being initiated and grown by the gun industry and certain organizations with that are affiliated with guns.
Like the NRA?
Yeah. This is the beginning of a slippery slope, a downhill slide, where guns will be taken away from American citizens, which then violates the Second Amendment. It is not. And I can't stress that enough. And we want to show people that are gun advocates, people that have had a tradition of guns in their family, that we respect their rights to do that. What we're trying to do is make the state of New Mexico a safer place to be for our families and for ourselves.
Now, it really, at this point, is not a very safe place to be.
No, it's not.
Talk about some of the gun violence that we have in New Mexico.
Well, that's why I say we can't afford to wait on HB 44. We're the 10th worst state for gun violence in the country. For women, it's worse. We're the 7th worst for women being killed, the majority by handguns. For children, we're the 6th worst state in terms of children being killed. And the 4th worst state for kids being murdered by guns. The difference being killed is usually an accident or a suicide. So New Mexico has a problem with gun violence, and obviously there's something that needs to be done in terms of that. Will HB 44 solve all those problems? No.
Yeah.
We need to do safe gun storage campaigns that tell parents, if you have a gun in your house, lock up your gun. Lock up your car, or don't take your gun in your car if you're going to leave it unlocked or overnight at a motel on Strias Road. Simple things like this, just getting the message out to, how can we be safer with guns?
So many people who have been killed by guns have been killed by a gun that was in their family.
Right.
That for some, and every story is different and every story is horrifying, but if the gun weren't there, the person would still be alive.
Right. Or if the gun was locked up.
Yeah.
So it was in a safe place, yeah.
That's right. Another thing that New Mexicans for Gun Safety is really promoting right now is a safe gun storage. So if you have a kid in your house, lock up your gun. If you have somebody who is getting older, who's getting Alzheimer's, lock up your gun. It's just, if you have a teenager, I mean, the rate of suicide with unlocked guns in houses compared to those with locked guns, you can see a definite difference in the reduction of suicide if the gun's locked up.
And as you know, the event that took place last year at Sandy Hook Elementary School, those guns were not locked up when he accessed those guns, and actually they were being encouraged to be used by the first victim of that, his mother. And what we'd like to try and do is just emphasize that how important it is. These are not toys. These are something that can maim and kill. That is their purpose. So it is something that should be respected and put in a safe place.
The idea of legal gun storage is not a pipe dream. I mean, after Sandy Hook happened, I got an email from a friend of mine in Germany who said, we are required to keep them in safes here in Germany.
Yeah.
And there are people with, I don't think there's a whole lot of gun culture in Germany, not like there is here, but there's probably some. But the people who have them are required by law to be safe with them, and they comply.
Right. Well, yeah, which is a good thing. Yeah. I mean, even with asking people to lock up their guns and not even having it as a law, we get pushback on that because of the Eddie Eagle program. So the NRA has the Eddie Eagle program, which teaches children to respect guns. That's all well and good. But what that does, Mary Charlotte, is it puts the responsibility on a 7-year-old kid. And I don't think many people think it's a 7-year-old kid's responsibility to know what to do with a loaded gun, or a 2-year-old, or a 13-year-old. So we're trying to teach, help guide our culture that locking up guns would be a great way to reduce the amount of injury and death and tragedy that we have from guns in this country.
We're talking to Miranda Viscoli and Paul Schmidt from New Mexicans for Gun Safety. I imagine, and I've seen some signs, that among gun owners, there is a lot of difference of opinion on how guns should be handled.
Yes, that's true. I have tried to communicate more with people that have an affection for guns, and try to get their I'm trying to understand more how they feel about guns, and What I am finding out is that guns in American homes, in many American homes, especially in the rural American homes, is a family tradition, and that it's kind of like the father had received a gun from his father, and now he's passing it on to his son, and this is a bonding moment in the family, really, to have this happen. Going out and shooting ducks or hunting together. It's a bonding thing. So it's a very important aspect of their family life. So those people are the majority. I truly believe that. And the way that they do treat guns for the majority is they keep them safe. One of the things that we're trying to really emphasize is an awareness of how dangerous a gun can be. You want to keep it safe, and we want to spread that message to as many people who are gun aficionados, gun advocates as possible.
So we have this tremendous power on the part of the NRA, basically, which is affecting gun legislation and gun safety issues in every state of the United States of America. Where do they derive their power?
I think that, I mean, if you look at what happened in Colorado, how the senators got recalled, is a perfect example. I feel like they have our senators and our representatives living in fear that they're, especially in more of the rural sections of this country, that they'll get recalled now. And also if you look at something like the TART amendments in 2003, which basically made it illegal to publish where guns are coming from and how much harm they're causing our society. The gun lobby did that 10 years ago, and they purposely did it. They don't want us to connect the dots of how bad gun violence is in this country.
But it's in our face every single...
No, you have 30,000 people a year being killed by guns, 70,000 a year being injured. And then the gun lobby comes out and they say, well, actually, homicides with guns are down. Well, the reason why they're down is because injuries are up because we have gotten so good at dealing with gunshot wounds in our country, where we have doctors coming from other countries to be in our trauma care centers because they don't have the gunshot wounds, but they need to know what you do in this kind of an emergency. You get to the point, though, where I feel like our leaders need to stop listening to the fact that the gun lobby is saying it's not guns killing the 30,000 people a year and injuring the 70,000 people a year, but it is.
Well, and it's so many children. I mean, it's sort of like school shootings have become the new normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty blasé about it these days.
Yeah, actually. I mean, the one that happened in Roswell, I heard on more than one occasion, including from people there, it's like it could have been worse.
Yes, yeah. Right, yeah. Oh, good, no one was killed. Oh, that's great. Huh?
Yeah.
What kind of logic is that, that we're actually thinking that way now?
Right. So there's a rally at noon today to encourage Governor Martinez to put her weight behind House Bill 44.
To send it a message for a vote.
To have it call on it to be voted. That's the first hurdle we have this year is just getting it into the legislation because it's a short session.
Right.
So she has to call it.
Are the votes there?
We don't know. It was filibustered last year in the Senate. Senator Michael Sanchez called it and said this is one of the most important pieces of legislation we're voting on. He said, I know you're going to filibuster it, but I'm going to at least give it the last vote in the Senate last year. That's how important he saw it. But we would love if anybody can come down to the roundhouse at 12 noon. If people don't show up, it shows Governor Martinez that New Mexicans don't care about gun violence prevention.
We need to have people down there, bodies right there visible. We have 4,000 signatures on a petition, but the more people we get down there to say, listen, Governor Martinez, we're challenging you right now. You did go down to Roswell. You did stand in front of the children and say, you're there for them. Be there for them. Let this bill be heard.
The child who shot people with the gun in Roswell, was that another case of an unlocked...
That was
yes,
an unlocked
it was.
Gun. And, you know, people say the two victims. I say three victims because that poor boy is only 12 years old. And his life will never be the same. He will be scarred emotionally for what he did.
And Brandon.
And Brandon. And there's no reason he was or should have been around an unlocked gun. So I, in my opinion, I think there are three victims in that that shooting.
What other kinds of work toward gun safety is your group doing?
Well, we're doing the public awareness campaigns to lock up your gun. So we have bus ads, bench ads, and bus stop ads that Mayor Koss has been, he has been 100% supportive of us and really helped us make sure we got those through. We're doing PSAs to get your guns locked up. We're making people aware of open carry. And is that a safe place to go in our city?
Right now we're growing our organization. There is going to be a New Mexicans for Gun Safety in Albuquerque. Miranda's going tomorrow down to Las Cruces to talk to some groups down there. And we wanted to try, what we want to try and do is any way that we can at this point educate people on the hazards with guns and the importance to keep them safe.
And then another thing they people could do if they really care is, right now the gun lobby gets 1,000 people calling a day to representatives and senators and the governor. And if people care, get on the phone, write the letters, send the emails, because it's 1 to 10 in terms of calls and emails to government officials.
Now, how can people get involved with New Mexicans for Gun Safety above and beyond going to the rally at noon at the Roundhouse today?
Us on Facebook.
That's right.
We'll
go to our
you.
Facebook. That way they can get in contact with us. We do have regular meetings, and we could give them a schedule of those meetings when they do that.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you very much for being here, Miranda Viscoli and Paul Schmidt, co-president of New Mexicans for Gun Safety, and we'll see you today at the Roundhouse.
Thanks.
Thank you
there.
Very much, Mary Charlotte.